Well, Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
You're looking at me funny when I said Merry Christmas, some of you. Some of you are thinking he misspoke, but it is Christmas. If you're in the Orthodox Church, January 6th is Orthodox Christmas. If you ever wondered about that date, that song, The 12 Days of Christmas, that's from Western Christmas, December 25th, to Eastern or Orthodox Christmas on January 6th, 12 days. That's where that comes from. I got no clue what the partridge in the pear tree and all that means. I've seen where people have tried to analogize about what that means. I don't know. But while the Eastern Church is celebrating Christmas today, we're thinking about the new year, aren't we? So a happy new year, everybody. It's good to see you. Some of you I hadn't seen since last year, right? I'm sorry, I know it had to be said. Today I want to spend just a few moments in Philippians chapter 3. And I want us to look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 13, all the way through chapter 4 and verse 1. There the Apostle Paul writes and says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble estate into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you speak to us through your word today, and that you challenge us as we face this new year. In Jesus' name, amen. Is it going to upset you to hear a New Year's sermon today? I imagine you were kind of expecting that. It's typical what happens in most churches on the first Sunday of the new year. Well, I'm going to do that, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time telling you stuff that you already know about keeping resolutions that you're bound to fail at keeping and get into that. But I want us to focus on the spiritual aspect of a new beginning for a new year. And the first thing I want you to see is found in verse 13, where the Apostle Paul says, "Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." That's some good advice. As we come to a new year, let's forget about the things that are behind us. There are some things that we'd like to forget about, right? There's some bad stuff that happened in 2018. If you lived your life like most people live their lives, all of us have some things we can look back on 2018 and go, "Whew, I am glad that's over with. I am glad that's behind me." Or maybe you're still dealing with it. What kind of things am I talking about? There have been some failures you've had in your life in the last year, I would imagine. Many years ago, when I was in seminary, I had a class with Dr. Elton McCann. I don't remember much about the class, but he made a statement in that class one day that has stuck with me, and here I am 30-whatever years later, and I still remember that statement. There was a student talking about having failed at something, and he was really down on himself. And I remember Dr. McCann looking at that student and saying his name and saying, "Remember this, a failure is an event in your life. It is never a person." I think I got my money's worth out of that class just by remembering that truth. If you have failed at something in the last year, that wasn't an event that happened in your life. But just because you have failed at something and maybe failed at it repeatedly doesn't mean that you yourself are a failure. Thomas Edison tried thousands of times before he successfully invented the light bulb, right? If he had viewed himself as a failure for all the failing events in trying to do that, we wouldn't have the light bulb, the incandescent bulb today. So, forget those. Leave those behind. What about the hurts? Now, this is easier said than done. You've had things that have happened in the last year that hurt you, that wounded you. Maybe someone did something to you, intentionally, unintentionally, whatever it was. Paul says, try to leave those things in the past. So how do you do that? So you cry out to God. And every time it comes crashing back on you, you just say, "God, I need your help with this." But you just keep running to Jesus every time those thoughts come into your mind. And eventually, over time, those things will lessen and lessen as the Lord picks up that burden. I can guarantee you that all of us have sinned in the last year in some form or another. Paul says, saying to us, it's in the past. Forget about it. Confess it to the Lord and stop doing it. Forget it and move on. There are disappointments you've had. Things that you hoped would happen, that didn't happen. Again, give it to the Lord. Would it surprise you to learn that I made a stupid decision or two? Yeah, we all make decisions that weren't very wise. But that doesn't have to affect where you are now. So leave those things behind. Forget about it. But there are also some things that you need to leave behind that are actually sometimes things that we don't think we need to leave behind. What about our blessings and achievements in the last year? I pray that you've had some spiritual victories. That's great. Now, I'm not suggesting you forget these things, but the idea here is that you cannot live today's spiritual life on yesterday's victories. Now, you can look back and see a track record of God's faithfulness to you, as we sang in that song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," that can encourage you for today and for tomorrow. But how many of you drove to church this morning on gasoline that you bought in January of last year? Maybe you did, but you haven't driven very much in the last year. But if you tried to drive to church in January of 2019 on gasoline that you put in your tank in January of 2018, you're not going to get very far because that gas has run out. It's gone. While we rejoice in the spirituality that we might have had in the previous year, answered prayers, seeing lost people get saved, other blessings that we could testify about this morning, understand this: you cannot live today on yesterday's blessings and victories. You have to seek God anew every day. And today is not just the first Sunday in a new year. It's the first Sunday of this month. It's today is the only day you got. You have to live today's victory for today. So, let's put the things that are in the past behind us. And let's continue in verse 14, where Paul says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Press towards the goal. What's the goal? Well, in the metaphor that Paul is using, he is talking about a finish line. It's the end of the race. Paul liked athletic metaphors. He used them in a number of places. And he is talking about running a race. And you see the goal, the finish line in front of you. And he's saying, press on. Keep running towards that. And what is the finish line? The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The goal is every day, Lord, help me become more like Jesus. Help me keep growing. Help me keep becoming more and more like Jesus as I pursue that upward call. But the good news about running your race is that you don't have to run it alone. Do you see in verse 17? Join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. As we're going through the race, we have other believers in Christ who are along beside us. We can use each other as encouragement, an example, a pattern to follow. Oh, how I wish we would all learn that we can lean on each other for encouragement. I've told this story before. I'm going to use it again right here because I don't have a better one. I remember being a Cub Scout. A little blue Cub Scout uniform, goofy little hat, weird little bandana that they made you wear back then around South Texas. It was hot in the summer, so we got to wear shorts with our blue Cub Scout uniform. And I remember us going to the Texas A&M football practice on one of our field trips. And there were the Aggies out there, and they were out there on that field, and they were practicing, and it was the August practice before the season started. It was 110 degrees plus. It was brutal out there, and there were those big players out there, and I remember Coach Gene Stallings later went on to win a national championship as a coach at Alabama. Anyway, Coach Stallings was there, and he challenged all of us to, as when we were little guys, and he challenged us all to run as fast as we could from one goal line to the other, 100 yards. Now, when you're a little guy, a 100-yard sprint is tough. But I'll confess, it was probably easier for me then than it would be now. But anyway, a 100-yard sprint when you're a little guy is tough. And I remember we started and we lined up and Coach Stallings blew that whistle and we started plowing as hard as we could ahead. And I remember getting to about midfield. And I was like, whoa. And all of us, my friends, you know, and we were like, wow, this is starting to get a little bit challenging. And we got a little further. And what I remember the most about it was some of us were just wanting, okay, we're ready to quit here, stop running. And all those football players started running beside us and clapping and cheering us on. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. If we're these big guys with all these pads and helmets on and all this stuff and this heat, and we've been out here for hours practicing, you can do it. And they were just cheering us on. And they ran with us. And the next thing you knew, we were crossing the other goal line. And we had run the whole field. We felt so proud of ourselves. That's what Paul is saying. The Lord has placed the scriptures, the examples of the apostles who went before us to encourage us. He's placed other believers around you in your life to encourage you in your run towards the finish line. And how are we to run our race? Paul said in Colossians 2 and verse 6, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. In other words, just as you receive Christ by faith, not through any of your good works or anything like that, but you receive Christ through faith, you walk with Christ through faith. And as you walk, I want to encourage you to remember 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Just live your life for the glory of God, trusting Him by faith. And as you do that, look at verse 20 in this passage in Philippians 3. Paul then says, you live by a higher calling. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Christ Jesus. Sometimes this world's going to treat you mean. It's going to treat you rudely. People are going to stab you in the back. Things are going to be rough at times living in this world. But remember, we are to be above that. We are to live as Christ for the world. Even though we're still in this world, our citizenship is here. No. Our citizenship's in Wisconsin? No. United States? No. Whatever other country you're from? No. Where's our citizenship? It's in heaven. It is above. It is not here. And the last thing is found in the first verse of chapter 4. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. So as you forget and leave behind the things of the past, and you press on toward the goal, the finish line in 2019, as you do it, stand firm in the Lord. Stay grounded in the things of God. The Apostle Paul wrote this wonderful defense of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That chapter is 58 verses long. It's a long chapter in the Bible. And from start to finish, it's about answering the question, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And if Jesus rose from the dead, what does that mean for us? And he comes to the end of that defense of the resurrection. And he says, now, here's what it means for you now. Since Jesus got out of his grave, and if you're trusting in Jesus, you're going to get out of your grave too one day. Here's what it means for you now as you live. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. Unmovable. That means you are so convinced that you are serving the Lord and what you are doing is the right thing in Christ that nothing's going to make you flinch. That you know you are on the solid rock. It's like that old story you've probably heard before about one night captain of a U.S. Battleship was on the sea and he saw the light of another ship ahead. And he radioed ahead and said, this is Captain Smith of the U.S. Battleship Iowa. We're on a collision course. You turn 20 degrees starboard. And the radio came back and said, this is Seaman First Class Jones. You turn 20 degrees starboard. Captain was furious. I'm a U.S. naval captain. Do you not understand? Seaman, you're at the bottom of the rank. You obey my orders. And the radio came back. This is Seaman First Class Jones. Turn 20 degrees starboard. The captain roared, I am a United States battleship. You don't want to mess with this. And the radio voice came back, I am a lighthouse. Warning of the danger on the rocks. Be steadfast, immovable, like a lighthouse built on the rock. You don't move off that rock, but yet you signal danger and the hope of guidance in Christ to the world. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you just keep serving the Lord, doing the good things of Christ, sharing the gospel. And then Paul says, at the end of that verse, 1 Corinthians 15, 58, knowing that your labor, your work in the Lord is not in vain. That even when it doesn't make sense to you, remember that it's never in vain as you serve the Lord. But what is the key to reaching that finish line? After saying all of this, it's found in Hebrews 12:2. Where again the metaphor of a race is being used. And the writer of Hebrews says that we are just to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We keep our eyes on Jesus, waiting at the finish line. Jesus is the author, the beginning of our race, and he is the finish line, the finisher of our faith. So brothers and sisters in the Lord, all I want to say to you today simply is, as we start 2019, don't get distracted from the race. Don't get discouraged to quit. Forgetting what lies behind, pressing on to the goal, and standing firm in the faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this simple reminder, this encouragement from your word today. And so, Father, as we begin 2019, Father, we ask that you help us to do all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.